Miss Amanda. Well, well, again, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I was looking for what would be the best title for this morning's message. And, you know, just being a Christian, the day-to-day of being a Christian is the title. And I was also looking at some stories, because I try to open with one every Sunday, and I couldn't decide between two. And since I'm the one speaking, you're going to get both. All right? So, during Sunday school, the teacher was explaining how God created Eve from Adam's rib. And a little boy, fascinated by the story, he listened very intently. And later that night, his mom found him lying in bed, clutching his side, groaning in pain. "What's wrong?" she asked. With eyes wide open, he whispered, "I think I'm having a wife." A church was holding baptisms in a lake, and one nervous young guy was getting baptized, and as the pastor dunked him under the water, the guy panicked, flailed his arms, and accidentally grabbed the pastor, and he pulled him down into the water too. And then the young guy came up out of the water and looked at a stunned congregation on the shore, and he yelled, "I think I baptized the pastor." So, we're back in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17, and this book was written by Luke, who was a physician and a travel companion of the Apostle Paul. And he wrote it to Theophilus. He wanted to write down just the beginnings of the church. Acts 17, 1 through 15. "Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis," I can never say that one right, "and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And then Paul, as his custom was, went to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus.' And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And so when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for in it we find truth and we find life. We find what'll make us grow in you. Lord, as we look around, we pray not only for ourselves, but those that are out sick. And we pray for those that are traveling. And we thank you for those that have returned to us from traveling, healthy and doing well. And Father, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would touch those that you're calling here, and that you would bring them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, in our lives, we need to be people of the Word. And we need to be giving people Jesus and watching out for troublemakers, as it's called. First thing we have to do is give people to Jesus. Give people Jesus. Acts 17:1. Paul and Silas then traveled through the towns of Amphipolis and Apollonia. I can never say those right. And came to Thessalonica. I can say that one right. Where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was Paul's custom, he went to the synagogue service. And for three Sabbaths in a row, he used the scriptures to reason with the people. He explained the prophecies and proved that the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead. He said, "This Jesus I'm telling you about is the Messiah." And some of the Jews who listened were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with many God-fearing Greek men and quite a few prominent women. So here we have Paul and his entourage, and they've departed the Philippians. And they traveled through two other towns and have now come to Thessalonica. Now, Paul always went to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. And the question is asked, well, why does he do that? Well, because Jesus is the Messiah that was promised to the Jews first. And then he opened it up salvation to every other nation as well. Notice something here. He went into a city. He preached to the Jews. Did he always do a miracle? Well, no. Did he always cast out devils in the synagogue? Well, no. What did he do? Well, he preached Jesus to them. And he proved from the scriptures, that is the Old Testament scriptures, that Jesus suffered and rose again from the dead. He preached a simple message and the power of the Holy Spirit amongst them. 1 Corinthians 2:1 through 3 says this, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling." And 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." You know, people often ask me, what's the easiest way to witness? You know, it's real simple, and I'm not going to make it hard. It's, how were you before Jesus came into your life? What happened when Jesus came into your life? And how are you now? And how are you now? You see, if you're the same person you were before you prayed a prayer, so to speak, for salvation, then I got to tell you something. You're not saved. You don't belong to Christ, and don't fool yourself thinking you are. If there is no change in you when you came to Jesus, you may have had an emotional minute or a religious experience, but you don't have Jesus. You see, we're given a warning about that too. In Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" You see, you can't do the will of God if you don't really know God, can you? And Jesus is the only way to the Father. We know that from John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He's the only way. Are you sure you know him today? If you're in the sound of my voice, whether that's online streaming or here, are you sure that you know him today? If not, then you need to get sure. You need to get sure. You know, Paul emphasizes the importance of confessing Jesus as Lord. This is like knowing someone by name, yet it goes deeper. It's about understanding their character, their intentions, who they are on the inside. During a heart-to-heart conversation with a friend, you might say, I know this person deeply. I can trust them fully. It should be the same with Jesus. Knowing him goes beyond mere acknowledgement of who he is and that he exists. It's about intimacy and trust in his faithfulness. You know, James said, you believe in one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Secondly, we need to watch out for those that trouble our lives. I call them the troublemakers, so to speak. Acts 17:5 says, but some of the Jews were jealous. And so they gathered some troublemakers from the marketplace to form a mob and start a riot. They attacked the home of Jason, searching for Paul and Silas so they could drag them out to the crowd. Not finding them there, they dragged out Jason and some of the other believers instead and took them before the city council. Paul and Silas have caused trouble all over the world, they shouted. And now they are here disturbing our city too. And Jason was welcomed them into his home. And they are guilty of treason against Caesar, for they profess allegiance to another king named Jesus. And the people of the city as well as the city council were thrown into turmoil by these reports. And so the officials forced Jason and the other believers to post bond, and then they released them. So Paul's seeing many people come into Christ, and he's teaching them how to live the Christian life, and he's spreading the gospel, which is the good news that you can have peace between you and God through Jesus. Well, that didn't sit well with some of the Jews, so much that they were jealous of their success, and they were envious of Paul and Silas. So what do? Well, they found some troublemakers, some rabble-rousers. Listen, when God gives you success in something, the enemy's going to cause trouble any way he knows how and any way he can. How's he going to do it? Well, he uses people. Sometimes good-intentioned people, but people nonetheless. So what do? Well, we remember Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, which states, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realm." You know what's interesting? You can always find troublemakers. So what happens? Well, they form a mob to take care of the situation. They go looking for Paul and Silas, but they aren't there. But the mob must be appeased. The mob must be dealt with. So they go after the homeowner instead of where they were staying. And his name was Jason. And they drag him before the courts and accuse him of treason, which could come with a death sentence. Instead, the corrupt politicians force him to pay some money so that he can get out of jail. And he paid it. You know what I found interesting is when someone is mad at someone else or an organization, they don't just leave. They try to pull others out with them. For example, this was many years ago, and I was an associate pastor at the time. And a group of people got mad at the pastor, and they knew he was going to be out of town. And what did they do? Well, they made up some flyers, and, you know, they thought they were doing the right thing, I guess. But they made up some flyers to talk bad about that pastor. And it was blown way out of context to what they were listing his egregious errors. Everything was blown way out of context or just silly. They stood outside passing these flyers around. They got some people to believe them, and they eventually pulled people away with them. But what should have been done? Matthew 18 should have been done. If you recall, Matthew 18:15-17 shows us how to deal with each other as Christians. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So if your brother sins against you, you've got a problem with somebody, go talk to them. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. This is basic Christian living. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. You see, when they had a problem, they shouldn't have jumped to gossip, but they should have talked to the guy they had a problem with. Had they done that, their concerns would have been addressed and they could have moved on in Christ. But you see, we've got a problem in America where it's all about us. It's all about our selfishness and our actions and what I want and what's good for me. Did you know in Africa there are people that will travel over 13 hours to hear the word of God? In China, there are people who will travel a day's journey just to hear a preacher preach because it's illegal. And yet, some days you can't get people to come into a church an hour away, 10 minutes away, 15 minutes away. What's happened? Well, the cares of this world come in and they choke out the word of God according to the parables. Folks, don't let that happen to you. Be people of the word. Be people of the word. Acts 17:10 says, "That very night the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. And when they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. And as a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. But when some Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God in Berea, they went there and they stirred up trouble. And the believers acted at once, sending Paul onto the coast, while Silas and Timothy remained behind. Those escorting Paul went with him all the way to Athens. And then they returned to Berea with instructions for Silas and Timothy to hurry and join him there. So this time, Paul and Silas and their group, they go to Berea. And Paul does what he always does. He goes to the synagogues first, where he's going to find the Jews. The synagogue was like a Jewish church at the time. Our churches today are actually modeled after the idea of the ancient synagogues. It says they were more open-minded, these people in Berea, than those Thessalonians. And they went to the scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. Now, if we would do that today, don't take a preacher's word for something. Don't take my word for something. Search it out yourselves. Make sure they didn't make a mistake. If Christians were people of the word of God like we proclaim we are, then there wouldn't be so many false prophets out there today. You know, Wednesday night we discussed false prophets in 2 Peter, so I won't belabor the point here, but suffice it to say, don't take anyone's word for something. Don't even take mine. I can be wrong. I have been wrong. Search the scriptures. Then take what you find there and apply it to your life. Don't be like the man in the mirror found in James. James chapter 1, verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. If you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So what happens to Paul? Well, some of those troublemakers from Thessalonica, some of those issues, well, they followed him. And they show up to cause more trouble for him. So what do the believers in Berea do? Well, they send him on. And some of them go with him to Athens, and they return to Berea with a message to Silas and Timothy, "Hey, y'all come on, join me here." And sometimes when it's time to move on, God will allow people to show up and make you uncomfortable, or circumstance. Sometimes it's just the enemy of your souls attacking you. You've got to have spiritual discernment in order to tell which it is. Which is why we must be people of the word and prayer. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture. Is that some scripture or all scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In Psalm 119:105 it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, that verse reminds us of the necessity of Scripture in our daily lives. Just as a lamp illuminates the darkness, God's word reveals the truth amidst confusion in our lives. When we commit ourselves to studying the Bible, we arm ourselves with wisdom and discernment. And that helps us to navigate the various situations that we face every day. It's not just an ancient text. It's not just something that was written by man over 2,000 years ago, some over 3,000 years ago. It's our guide for living. It's holy. It's powerful. And when we neglect it, we find ourselves wholly inadequate. Where are you today? In our lives, we need to be people of the Word. We need to be giving people Jesus. And watch out for those situations or troublemakers that may come in our path. I can tell you this, though. The second you start doing something for the Lord, the enemy starts throwing up